some of the things that's going on. And so we're going to welcome her as she comes. And she's probably not nervous, but just in case she might be, we're going to pray for her. And then so we'll just ask you to join us in that manner. So, Father, we love you. And, Lord, we're so thankful that you have seen fit to allow us to connect and to be part of, Lord, the story and the testimony that is Minnie's life. And, Lord, we bless her today. We receive her today. And we just speak peace over her heart, Lord, that she could be free to flow, free to share, free, Lord, to just move with you. And we're thankful for her and all that she does in our ministry, Lord. We're asking that you would bless her today. And, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, that we could fully receive and engage what you have for us, Lord, for your purposes, for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There you go.
Thank you. I would appreciate continued prayer during the message. If you see me getting nervous. So, like Pastor Scott said, the series that we've been on has been really impacting my life in a way for God to really show me my heart where, you know, we've been learning about a lukewarm heart. And through these weeks, that's one of the things that the whole thing that I will be sharing today, that's one of the things where God has been using to show me my own heart, where my heart has become lukewarm. And, you know, lukewarmness, I think, can be in degrees to the extent that we allow our heart to be hardened. And so one of the things that I'm realizing is it's very subtle in the way our heart can move from a vibrant heart to a lukewarm heart. You know, the little compromises we allow, the things that God slowly nudges and says, hey, this is not okay, and we say okay, is where our heart starts getting slowly lukewarm. And that's one of the things that, for me, where this whole journey has begun, is that's an area that God has been highlighting to me, is those little compromises. And it almost seems wrong to say little, because it's not little to God. And one of the biggest areas for me that God's been highlighting is the way I treat him and my time with him. And how I had started walking into this place of taking the nearness of God to me for granted. And it's like, you know, the analogy that as I was thinking about it, even this morning, that God brought to me was, think about a loved one that you want to spend time with. And the person says, I want to spend time with you. But then when you have that time together, that person is going about doing their own thing, and you are waiting. Like, hey, I thought we were going to spend time together. And quite honestly, that's the very thing I was doing to God. You know, and he was nudging like, hey, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And my mind is everywhere else but God. You know, and I will make time for God, but in that time, I am taking my own time. You know, does that make sense? And it's like the mercy of God, like just what he spoke to the Laodicean church is the very thing I feel like he's doing with us even today. The mercy of God that he'll be patient and he'll keep saying, hey, come on, come away, return to me, return to me. And we can either respond to it or make excuses for it. And in all honesty, for quite some time, I made excuses for it. And I justified all my reasons of why it's okay for me to make God wait and do my own thing, you know. And he was patient for weeks with me, slowly nudging me. And then finally one day, for me, maybe to give you a little bit of understanding of one of the ways of where my relationship with God has been on, his tangible presence, where I can feel his presence, is very precious to me. And in a lot of times and ways, that's one of the ways that he makes me aware of his nearness, is his tangible presence. And it was like one day, it almost felt like one day I woke up and God is gone. And I can't feel him anymore. And that was kind of like for me, and I should say this, I don't rest my faith on that. It's not like if I don't feel him that I think that I have lost my faith. But that is very special to me, to be able to sense the presence of God. And when that was gone, it was like, it's like the story of Song of Solomon. I wanted to read a few scriptures here because it related to me of where I was at. Like this woman in the Song of Solomon, where her beloved is calling her out and she's taking her own time. And okay, so I'm on Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And it says, and I'm on New King James for people back there. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." And it's like, if you read that chapter, there is nothing of a response from her. She hears it, but there's no response. And then if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, it's like she says, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find." And this was, to me, it was like, that's me. That's me. That's what I've been doing to God. He's been calling out. And I didn't respond. But then it's not like God got mad and he walked away. But it was, for me, it was God pulling his presence away so he can awaken me that it's not okay. It's not okay for me to carry on this way. And that's where I started crying out to God. Like, what's going on? Like, what happened, God? And the thing through the whole experience that God started showing me is in my walk with God, in my journey with him, I came to a place of comfort where I wanted to just settle with what I have. And he's calling me deeper. And I didn't understand and still don't fully understand what that deeper means or what going deeper fully looks like. But it was, for me, an unfamiliar place, you know, because I knew, you know, as a Christian, this is what I do, and these are the things I'm doing, and I was kind of okay with just being there. And him calling me deeper into a relationship with him, what will it look like if I say yes? What will he require of me? And what if I don't want what he's calling me deeper into? And honestly, like, that's what he showed me of my heart, is those are the reasons why you've been okay with saying, "I want to hang out with you," and then you are so afraid to open your heart that you are going back to your familiar place and just wanting to stay there. But he's not okay with it. You know, and it's the mercy of God that he will do whatever it takes to bring us to a place of desperation. For me, it looked like him pulling away his presence. For you, it might look something else. The heart of God is that we engage with him. We come close to the extent he's calling us close. You know, and to surrender that fear that, "God, I'm going to trust you that you are good. What you have for me is good. And so even if that unfamiliar place looks like me having to give up something that I held so close and dear, or something that was okay the past season, it's not okay anymore. And I have to give that up. You know, like that I so love that chorus from that song that said it's about going from head to the heart. That's the journey he has us on, is to learn to let go so that we can fall in love with him again and again and again. And he really has so much for us. And honestly, I don't even know what that so much is. But I just know, and I know like all of you know that, because we all have the same spirit in us who's calling us to that place. And so anyway, so in this whole journey of going through these things, two things started happening for me. One is that awareness of where my heart is at caused me to cry out to God, Lord, purify my heart. Purify my heart. I don't want to remain in this place. And the second thing was, God, what does it look like to go deeper in you? What does that mean? Like, what are you requiring of me? What steps should I take? And a lot that I am sharing is obviously my own journey, but I think like these are the same questions we can ask to God. You know, what does it look like for me, for each one of you? And for me, one of the things to awaken my heart that I felt like he wanted me to do is I've been on a study of Song of Solomon, and he has been using that book to awaken my heart to his love for me as my bridegroom, to the delight that he has for us, for me, as my bridegroom. And it's like, that's one of the books that I have avoided for years because it's hard to make sense of it. But if that's something that God wants you to walk in, like one of the resources that has been helping me a lot is from IHOP Kansas City. Mike Bickle has like in different years, he's done different series on the same book. And that, I started listening to some of that, and it's been helping me, along with doing my own study, it's been helping me to see Jesus and his love for me in a new light. And the thing that I'm coming to understand, it's only his love that can awaken us to him. The more we know his love for us, it's the place where we will grow in our love for him and grow in our love for each other. And one of the things that's so special to my heart that's been happening with me through this time is there's an excitement and an anticipation growing in me for the return of Christ. You know, because it's like I'm becoming more aware that Jesus is excited to come back for us. Because we are his bride. This is where everything is heading, is the marriage of the Lamb. This is the place where we are being transformed, is because we are his bride. And he's made a promise, I'm going to make you my bride, I'm going to make you without spot or wrinkle, to present you to my Father. And it's the calling that he has for us to partner with him, to allow him to make us that spotless, clean bride. And to be excited at the same time that he is coming back, you know. And yet the seriousness of it, that there is also, whether it be people in our lives, people we know, there are people who are not yet ready. There are people who have not surrendered their lives to God. We ourselves need to be made ready, you know. And so it's like, all these things are growing a place of prayer in me that God, make us ready. Father, make us ready. Do whatever it takes to grow in us that fullness of Christ that you so want to see in his bride, in each one of us. And it really is. I mean, if you've not read the book of Song of Solomon before, it's fascinating, because it really is a picture of how Jesus comes after his bride, and she will say yes, and this is me. She will say yes, and they will have that time, but somehow her heart gets drawn away again, and then he's pulling her back again. And so it's like, I'm not sharing what I'm sharing from the place of, well, I have it all together. And the funny thing is, I have this struggle that once I get a revelation, or once God has done something in my life, I can easily deceive myself that now I have it all together. Now, okay, God, you've given me this. Okay, now I can walk with it. And quite honestly, that's exactly what I did. And God had to allow me to fall in my same old ways again to make me realize, you don't have it all together. You are never going to have it all together without me. So the purpose is not for something to be accomplished in me so that I can now get up and walk and go about handling the business on my own. It's about staying in that place connected with Jesus, dependent on him, knowing that, Lord, if your hand is not in my hand, I can walk away in a minute. I can go back to the same place where you pulled me out of in a minute, you know, and it's humbling, but it's a good thing, because our hearts need to be humbled. I know my heart needs to be humbled. And it's good to be dependent on God. It is a good thing. Well, another thing that God has been doing in my life, it's almost like, sometimes it feels like it's a progression of him awakening my heart to his love. But also at the same time, I'm seeing a love for the lost and a love for the church growing in my heart in the place of prayer. And for you know, like scripture says, for new wine to be poured, the old wineskin has to first be made new. And a lot of times that old is whether it be our attitudes, whether it be our motives, whether it be just wrong mindsets we've had, is what he has to deal with first if he has to pour his love into us. And just during this time, one of the things with the people that don't know Christ yet that I have become aware of is my lack of burden for them. My lack of burden and the heart of God that he died for them. And how can I be okay with not even praying for them, you know? And that's the place where I started crying out to God, give me your burden, because I don't have it. And that's the condition of my heart, so you alone can change it. And he is so faithful that I am beginning to see that change happen in me. Where, you know, I mean, for those of you who know me, it's a place of comfort for me to be by myself, doing my own thing. If I am to step out to do something that involves conversations or talking to strangers or standing up here, it's not a place of comfort at all. But it's like the thing that God is making me aware is it's not about your comfort, because you are here on this earth for me, but also with an assignment, because we all are ambassadors of Christ. we are called to call people back into reconciliation with Christ. And so it's not about whether I like doing something or not. It's about my obedience to what he's asking of me. And that's the place where my heart is still being worked on, quite honestly, is that obedience of saying, even though it's not comfortable, I'm going to do it. You know, whether it be prayer, whether it be, you know, reaching out to somebody. And so that's one people group that obviously God so dearly loves, that he's putting a love in my heart that he has for them. But it's also the church. And it's interesting how, like, we can think we are okay with something, and then, like, God all of a sudden highlights something, and we realize, whoa, I didn't know this was there in my heart, you know? And quite honestly, with the church, like, where my heart has, God has been really convicting me is up here, the critical thoughts, the judgmental thoughts I can have towards the body of Christ. And funny thing is, the body of Christ is not just me and you here, it's, you know, the whole wide world, everyone who believes in Christ. And so it's like, all of a sudden, I was telling Pastor Scott the other day, it feels like God has put a loudspeaker on my ears, and the other end is on my heart and my mind. And I can hear my thoughts, things I had not heard before, I am hearing really loud now. Even with, like, strangers I don't know, I watch on TV, all of a sudden I'm having thoughts of, oh, I know why they're doing this. Oh, I know what they mean by this. Oh, I know. I don't know the motives of their heart, you know, but I think I know. And I'm sitting there judging. And then God was like, you are talking about my bride, you know. And that made me think, you know, a loving husband, if somebody comes and tells something to him about his wife, he's not going to just sit there and do nothing about it. He's going to stand up for her. Well, if a man can stand up, I better be careful what I say and think about Jesus' bride. You know, it's beginning to put a fear in my heart that when I see those thoughts coming, I better quickly repent. I better quickly ask for forgiveness. I better keep short account with God, because his bride is precious to him. And no matter how broken she is still his bride, and she is still being worked on, so I have no right to point finger at anybody, or even myself, because I am his bride too. And I am grateful to God for what he's doing. And I know I'm not the only one. And I'm grateful for that too, that on this journey, I'm not alone. I have many others with me that are on this journey. And I am still on the journey, because it really is a journey. I'm coming to feel settled in my heart that it's not a one-day thing, that everything will change, because that's another struggle I have, is I would like to know everything from start to finish and get right now and get it done with, you know? And God's like, The way our relationship will grow is if we stay on this journey, you know? And I'm going to work one thing at a time. All you have to do is remember, I am the Lord. I'm God, not you. I am the owner of your heart, not you. And what you have to do is surrender. When I show you something, say yes. And if you struggle, ask for help. You know, a lot of my prayer these days has been, Lord, help me. Father, forgive me, and Lord, help me. And, you know, like, I think it was last week or the week before that I am so grateful for the messages that we are receiving through our pastor, because I'm growing in learning what prayer looks like, you know? And it's like I had somehow put it in a box of what prayer can look like, whether it be oh, I know of certain needs and I bring that and that's it. But it's like my paradigm of prayer is changing. It's these small conversations we have with God. It's in that place of intimacy with Jesus. It's that time alone with God where he puts something on my heart and I would lift it up to him, and that's prayer. And I am excited. I think this is where I will stop at. I am excited for the journey that we are on. And I'm excited and waiting to see where God is taking us in this journey, because he is purposeful in his ways, even though we don't understand everything. And I'm thankful that I'm on this journey with each one of you. So that's what I have to share of my story.
Isn't she something else? you're going to hang on. You're not going to be. We got a couple of minutes here, and we're just going to take this time just for some prayer time. But I want her just to, you know, there's something about saying, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's several places along her description, like, oh, that's me. She's saying that's her. And I'm like, no, that's me. You know, that's me. And that's me too. And oh, and that's me. And oh, I'm not the only one. But there's just something about the grace that's released in being able to say, I walked through this, or I'm walking through this. And so I'm going to ask her just to pray over us, just ask her just for some of that grace, some of that experience, some of that stuff, and all those areas. I'm going to say, Minnie, why don't you just pray over us?
Lord Jesus, God, we are so grateful that, Lord, you don't give up on us. We are so grateful, Lord, that you see our heart and you still love us the same. God, that you still call us your bride. And Father, I thank you that we really are on this journey of you making us ready for your return. We thank you. Lord, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for their journey with you. I thank you for the things that you are speaking to them and doing in their lives. And Father, I pray for your grace to be released to each one of us. Father, that we, as we walk each day, that we would grow in our awareness of who you are to us and your nearness to us. And Lord, that your fear would be on us, that we would not take your nearness for granted. God, that we would walk in dependency on you. Lord, that we would be quick to return back to you when we fall. God, that we would say yes to the things that you're calling us to. And Father, where it's places that we are afraid, where we are not sure what it would look like, that we would cry out to you for help. God, to say yes to you, that we would cry out to you for help, to walk the journey you're asking us to walk on. And Lord, I thank you that you love the lost. You love your bride. And so I ask, grow your love in us. Father, open our eyes, even like it was said to you before, open our eyes to see what you see. Open our eyes to see your bride the way you see her. Open our eyes to see the lost the way you see. God, do not give up on, no matter how hard the situation may be or the person may be, do not give up on them, because you do not. And so I pray for grace to be extended in the place of prayer, grace to be extended in the place of surrender, and grace to be extended to open our hearts to your love. Father, I pray for the one that struggles to even know if you love them. I pray that their hearts would be open. Lord, that you would soften their hearts. You would do what only you can do. You know how to open our hearts. So do your work, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. This is going to take a minute here. Just wait on the Lord. So, oh, Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this word today. Holy Spirit, We just don't want to miss any opportunity that we have, that you might be stirring us into, calling us forth for. Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and just get in at least a group of three people. So if you're by yourself, go find another person and then another person. And just get together with at least three people. It can be bigger than three, but I want more than two. And we're just going to pray for one another here for a moment before we dismiss. So it's going to become a prayer. We just want to just take time. You know, the Holy Spirit's here, and I don't know of all the needs, but he does. And so and you can introduce yourself, but we're just going to pray over one another. There you go. Just go ahead and go back with Jen. Yeah. There you go, Jen. Way to invite her. She's a little shy, but there you go. Yeah. So, Father, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, now. Lord, we don't want to just walk away without some prayer, somebody's need being met, Lord, as we invite you. So we take this moment right now. We pray for our brother. We pray for our sister. Where healing is needed right now, Lord, we pray for your divine intervention to heal and to save and to deliver. Lord, where there's a loved one, Lord, that we're believing for, God, thank you right now for that grace, Lord, to increase, to stand and believe and trust. Lord, where there's somebody that's in a relational difficulty, God, we pray right now for your intervention and healing. Lord, somebody right now in a place, Lord, where they're needing a breakthrough, Lord, that today is the day of breakthrough, Lord, for at the job, at the workplace, Lord, in that situation with the children, Lord, that difficulty for the that you know about, Lord. We just pray right now. Bless them. Father, we don't want to walk away from here without an opportunity to bless what you're blessing, Lord, to touch your ones that you love and to agree with them in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. You are the healer. You are the Savior. You are the deliverer. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Lord, you go before us. Even now, Lord, there's still someone making some plans today. Lord, we're just asking that you would bless them, Lord. Somebody, Lord, struggling with anxiety, frustration, or tension, Lord, right now. We thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us even now. Spirit of the living God, bless our brother, our friend, our neighbor here. Oh, we're not in a hurry. We give you room, God, to address, do the work that you desire to do in this place. Lord, you bind up the brokenhearted, so we say, do that today. Lord, you save and you deliver and you heal. So we're inviting you to do that today. Holy Spirit, our guiding light. So we lift you high. Thank you, Jesus. Yahweh, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Yahweh, Almighty God, Lord of Lords. Say, God, touch those gathered in this place. Lord, somebody's just feeling weary today. We just say, Lord, re-energize them. Re-energize them, Lord. Those that are feeling a fatigue, Lord, refresh and renew their strength in you. Alone, somebody here, Lord, who's thinking Thanksgiving isn't fun for them because there's issues. Reminds them of stuff, family stuff. Lord, right now we just say, God, go before them and cause there to be a new shift, a new paradigm, a new perspective on how to embrace Thanksgiving and the time with family. And Lord, though there might have been something in the past, that the past is going to stay in the past, and the present is the present, and the future is better. Lord, that you would heal whatever wounds might have been in the past, Lord, and give faith and love and hope, Lord, for the here and now and the yet to come. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless our friends right now. Those that are here, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that our hearts would connect with yours, with one another in a deeper way, even as we pray together. When we give you full permission, God, to do as you desire, to have your way. Jesus, now we're just going to allow you just to keep praying for whoever as much as you want to. I'm going to officially just say, I'm not going to end it with any other thing other than just you guys praying for one another. You can stay as long as you want and be prayed for or pray for one another, but God bless you all. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and may the Lord continue to bring more testimonies of what he's doing through you all, even as many shared hers today, and ultimately that you all be blessed. Thank you, Father.